right. Health statements in the Dolphin, Louise. What were the main points raised and what was the specific subject of this? It was on universal health provision, was it?
That's right. So I think we've heard so much about Sláinte Care and trying to make health care more accessible. Now, a lot of that progress is being delayed, the government would argue, because of the pandemic. The opposition would argue just because the government hasn't got its act together. But we did hear from, I guess, started off, as you would expect, with Health Minister Stephen Donnelly, kind of laying out the progress that he thinks we've made. So he was saying it's the third year in a row the waiting lists were full, that he gave a number of waiting lists. So, for example, if you're getting a cataract surgery in Wicklow, Kildare, South Dublin, you were waiting 6 years and now you're waiting 12 months. And he was kind of just outlining all the progress that he thinks Ireland's made. Now, he's accepted that it's not enough. He's accepted that there needs to be a lot more done. He's accepted that waiting lists have to come down. He was looking at, I guess, the kind of questions about resourcing, especially in the Midwest, where we had that recent inquest into that of Aoife Johnston. So he was basically, on one hand, I guess, outlining his success, and then on the other, saying that there more needs to be done. I think
a lot done, more to do.
A lot done, more to do, as the old saying goes. But I think the opposition they were scathing enough. Duncan Smith of Labour giving out about this kind of two-tier health system where if you can afford to get your healthcare, you're more likely to get it. Cathal Crowe, actually his Fianna Fáil colleague, saying that they need to explore the possibility of a new Model 3 hospital in the Midwest, that you've had so many EDs closed there across Ennis, Nina and St John's, that there's something like 500,000 people going into UHL every year, whereas you've 1 million people in Dublin going to 8 hospitals. And he was saying that's kind of bananas. Raida Cronin, Martin Kenny's Sinn Féin colleague, was talking about GP services, about dentals, services for medical card appointments. And she said, quote, it's easier to get tickets to Taylor Swift than it is to get an appointment. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but I believe that's mighty hard indeed. So it would say a lot about trying to get a medical appointment. And then there was some backbencher, Cuddly of Radker, first time we've kind of heard from him. Who's on the backbenches. Former Taoiseach, former health minister, former doctor, the Dáil heard today.
We might be hearing more from him maybe in the future.
Perhaps, but he was speaking about actually, you know, his time in health and his time as Taoiseach, and he was kind of looking forward to what more can be done, and which was quite interesting to hear from a man he's only gone out of the Taoiseach's office. Not, I don't even think it's 2 months, but he was speaking about what more progress can you make. He was talking about the drug payment scheme, which it's capped at €80 a month per each household for what you're paying on medicine. He was saying, well, can you bring that cap down? Could you put an annual cap in, perhaps? He was saying he was sceptical about Department of Health figures that they've published, saying that the difference between issuing people with a GP visit card and a full medical card would be 100. He said he's sceptical of those figures. So it's kind of interesting that you're hearing all this now from the backbenches rather than from the Taoiseach's chair. But quite an interesting contribution from him this afternoon as well, it has to be said.
Right, the potential maybe for him to put down some awkward PQs before he wraps up his time. Fiona O'Loughlin, what stood out for you in the contributions today? What's the kind of the main issue as far as the blockages to provision of universal healthcare?
And obviously,
obviously,
I don't sit in the Dáil anymore, so I didn't have the opportunity to listen or participate in the debate.
Give us your top issue. What would you have said had you been contributing to the statements today?
Well, I think that the focus on primary care is really, really important, and that really is the essence of Sláinte Care. And the fact that at this point in time that we have 96 community health networks right across the country, we have a number of community integration teams, and that gives an enhanced service to the community care. I think in Sligo, for example, in terms of gynecological services, and apparently that's working really well, just to give that as an example. I also think that the interventions in women's health since Minister Donnelly came on board, in terms of free contraception, the period poverty, and also in relation to the menopause clinics, free IVF for the first time since last year.
Right. So, but any issues of concern for you?
I'm obviously concerned when I hear what happened in Limerick, with last week's the horrific situation of Aoife Johnston, what her family are going through. That is horrific, and we obviously need to do far, far better. I know that there are a lot more hospital beds now and that there are plans for Limerick, but absolutely, it does concern me. But I do believe also in having centres of excellence. And I think that has to be a really, really important area going forward. I know that there's three new elective hospitals planned and a number of surgical hubs, of which Limerick is one of them. So we supporting the staff in our healthcare facilities. Yeah. That's something I'd feel strongly about.
Martin Kenny, in terms of the main issues of health concern, and I suppose the barriers on the road to getting towards the end point of Sláinte Care. Yeah, what are the top
ones
for you?
There has been so little progress made in Sláinte Care, I think, that you know a lot of people have thrown their hands in the air. I mean, the standalone elective hospitals, you know, three of them are proposed. That's a long time ago since that was put out there that was going to happen. It hasn't happened. The primary care centres and all of that that's happening, in a lot of cases, they're understaffed, some of them below 50% of the recommended staff in them. We look at CAMHS, the situation for child and adolescent mental health services across the state. It's in a deplorable situation. And we see the impact of that, unfortunately, with the tragedies that some families have to go through. We see you mentioned dental, you know, the school dental service. I'm dealing with that at the moment where constituents and parents are coming saying, you know, my child is in sixth class and hasn't seen a dentist yet. And yet that used to be something that we were able to do well in this country. All of those things have been set aside and are not been financed or serviced properly. But the core element of Sláinte Care is we were supposed to have a universal healthcare system that would be free access to everybody. That has not happened. Vast majority of people, if they can afford it, will go and get health insurance in this country still, because they see that it is the only way.
If
they don't have it, they feel that they won't get a service. That's why they do it. And many of them are doing that, not because they want to do it or can afford to do it, but they're in some cases having to borrow at the beginning of the year. I know somebody telling me that a family borrowing from the credit union at the beginning of the year to pay for health insurance and paying it off over the 12 months from the credit union. You know, that shouldn't be happening in a country where we have a modern developed democracy and a modern developed economy. Right. So we have a big issue here. Sláinte Care was a great idea, but it simply has fallen and has not been implemented.
All right. In your assessment, Gino Kenny, what's the big blockage to arriving at the end point of Sláinte Care?
Yeah, I spoke on the debate today, and there has been progress in relation to Sláinte Care. There's no doubt about that. But it's been very, very, very slow. And once you have inequalities, which we do in the Irish health system. But I want to say, when you get into the Irish health system, it's really, really good, right? It's excellent. But the problem sometimes is getting into the accessibility of the healthcare system, and particularly ED departments have been hugely problematic. So the slow progress of universal healthcare, and I think the majority of people would agree that a universal health system is a much better system than we have now. Because where you have inequalities, and they can have been kind of amplified, particularly around COVID, where people, you know, 50% of people still rely on public health, private health insurance. Because once you have that, once you have a public and private health system, then the outcomes are not good for the individual and society as a whole.
All right. Fiona O'Loughlin, you mentioned primary care there and advances there. But if it's to be rolled out to be free at the point of entry to everybody, more GPs are needed. There are areas of the country where, you know, it was highlighted in recent months, the situation in South Kerry, over in areas of the west of Ireland as well, where GPs cannot be found. Locums are working around the clock, and there are severe difficulties in that area. So what's the fix on that?
There are. Well, I think the places have greatly expanded in terms of students going in to take up medical places. So that's a first. They've doubled, actually, in the last few years. I think the cooperative hubs play a really important role. In Kildare, as you know, we have KDOC. And so where there are gaps, they play a really, really important role. I think the suggestion was made to, you know, that we might look at the possibility of salaried doctors. So as opposed to them receiving payments either according to the medical card list or the private patients, that we would have doctors that would be paid a salary.
Would
and
you
I think that's a good idea.
All right, Martin Kenny.
Absolutely. I mean, the problem you have at the moment is the GP is a small business. and they have to run a small business and keep their books and, you know, run an office and have staff and have all those and become an employer. What we should have is a GP that's employed directly by the HSE, a number of them, and the HSE run the service and the doctor is employed by them. That's the way the system should work. If the system worked like that, we would have a situation where doctors would be available in rural areas where we can't get them at the moment.
Although the NHS, you know, has directly employed GPs and the waiting lists, there are waiting lists for GPs. It can be weeks.
Under the Tory government, we've seen huge cuts in the NHS across Britain and they have gutted it. And, you know, we shouldn't be looking at their model. We should be looking at what was there before that. All of us, certainly when I talk to my mother and that generation, Irish people went over to England to get the health service there because they could get it free access. And that's something that we need to be able to develop here in Ireland. And we can do it. And this story, you know, that the Irish health system and that Ireland somehow or other can't have a modern health system and that health is some kind of Angola, I think it was called at one time, that is nonsense. We can have a health system that works in this country if we apply ourselves to it like we can have anything else.
It's all about the right care in the right place at the right time. Yes. And we are a distance from it, but I do think we're getting there.
Gino Kenny, you mentioned public health nurses. What was the particular concern there?
Yeah, I mean, in the CHO7, the area that I would represent, you have a situation in parts of the Dublin Midwest, Newcastle, North Clondalk and certain parts of Lucan where there is no public health nurses whatsoever. And public health nurses are extremely important in terms of infant care, newborns and elderly care. And there's simply no public health nurses. So what happens is, if a mother, wants to kind of get a developmental checkup for the child, they're simply told to go to their GP. A GP won't have that expertise, particularly around public health care. So that's not a good thing whatsoever. And I got a response in terms of a parliamentary question in terms of this. And the recruitment of public health nurses, and particularly in Dublin Midwest, has been zero. That's really, really bad.
That's the issue. It keeps coming back to Louise Byrne, isn't it? This recruitment and retention issue. This, you know, the ability to find the staff, the trained staff, and even if they are in the pipeline at third level, what's going to keep them in Ireland?
Well, I mean, I have many friends who are doctors, who are nurses, who have gone abroad, and they talk about the different quality of life that they have in Australia compared to when they were working in hospitals here. They feel like they can actually, you know, they have an evening or they have a morning, depending on what shift they're working. They don't feel the same stress they say the healthcare system in Australia is so much better and they've so much better quality of life. So why wouldn't they go? And I mean, that's concerning in and of itself because, you know, we're training people and then we're hemorrhaging them and they're going abroad. And when you think about recruitment and retention, what can you do there to make those things better? Is it salaries? Yes, somewhat it probably is, but a lot of the time it seems to actually just be working conditions. It seems to be the facilities available to doctors and nurses and hospitals, the way they're treated, the way they're spoken to. It seems to just be a cultural thing. And how do you change that? You know, there has been some changes made, but it doesn't seem nearly enough to actually get people to want to work in the Irish health service at a time when we're crying out for people.
All right. We are going to move on. We'll no doubt return to the health service, but we want to look at how the Bumtown Rats knocked a public art installation off kilter next.